Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Monday, Memorial Day 2012. We're going to celebrate this holiday by bringing you a special edition of our broadcast as we take a look back at some of our best, most hard-hitting reports from recent past. Here's a quick preview of what I'm talking about.
Tonight, a Russian spy ring penetrates the highest levels of the Obama administration, and a new Cold War emerges. Plus, a look back at the militarization of our police as the Texas DPS goes on a spending spree to patrol the Rio Grande River. Then, an in-depth look at the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays. And Facebook gets all zuckered up, and Aaron Dykes told you so before the IPO. All that coming up next in this Memorial Day special edition of the InfoWars Nightly News.
So as you can see, we have an exciting and informative show lined up for you this evening. We're going to start out by taking a look at a special report that exposes foreign spies deep inside the inner workings of U.S. foreign policy. It's been exposed since 2010 that indeed a spy ring from Russia got well within the highest levels of the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton, excuse me, Vladimir Putin even admitted this a couple of years ago on Larry King Live. And it's no question that geopolitical tensions between the United States and Russia are on the rise and a new Cold War is emerging.
A spy ring has once again infiltrated the highest and most secure levels of our government. Anna Chapman was revealed in 2010 to be a Russian spy. But only now do we know that the FBI agents exposed her because they feared she was getting dangerously close and under the covers with a high-ranking Obama official. But they would not reveal who the official was. However, it later emerged that not the bombshell Anna Chapman, but another member of the Russian spy ring, had reached the inner circle of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's entourage. Foreign spies were admittedly involved deep inside the inner workings of U.S. foreign policy. Putin played it down and said they were doing no harm. But is it a sign that a new Cold War is emerging? Or are we trapped in some kind of James Bond film? Tabloids even speculated why Hillary started dressing like a Bond villain. And now KGB boss Vladimir Putin, back in power, recently unveiled a new psychotronic weapon that attacks the central nervous system and turns humans into zombies. Putin said that such high-tech weapon systems will be comparable in effect to nuclear weapons, but will be more acceptable in terms of political and military ideology. And Russian Defense Minister Anatoly Surtikov added, "The development of weaponry systems based on new physics principles, direct energy weapons, geophysical weapons, wave energy weapons, genetic weapons, psychotronic weapons, and so on, is part of the State Arms Procurement Program for 2011 to 2020. We know that similar technology has already been tapped by DARPA. It was revealed in the wake of the Arab Spring and the contested Russian election that the U.S. had indeed intervened to tie Putin's hands on the grand chessboard. The conflict in South Ossetia, pitting Western-backed Georgia against Russia, later proved to be an attempt by Vice President Dick Cheney to menace Russia into World War III, putting us once again on the brink. Zygmunt Brzezinski, key advisor under President Carter and shadow advisor under alleged President Obama, has long envisioned the plan to encircle Russia and compete for territory in the great game.
And honestly, folks, do you think that Russia is completely unaware that they are being completely encircled by hostile U.S. military bases? Sure, they might not be the same military might as they once were when they were the Soviet Union, but pair them up with China, and we're talking one fierce military machine. Is it really worth blowing up the entire world to prevent Iran from having their own nuclear energy program? I don't know, I guess that's a question the mainstream media should be asking, but they won't. Next up, we're going to take a look at a report that John Bowne and I worked on together as we went out to witness the unveiling of the brand new DPS patrol boats, $600,000 each, six in total, taxpayer money, and they are now patrolling the rivers and lakes surrounding Austin, Texas, to save us from the evil terrorist. Now, when we arrived there, there were already three other news crews that were on the scene from the mainstream media. Of course, they were more than willing to regurgitate all the talking points that the DPS spoon-fed them. But when they found out we were with InfoWars, they did not allow us to talk to anybody, at least officially, and we were not granted any interviews. We did, however, manage to get some pretty interesting footage. Let's take a look. Now, we are here for the unveiling of yet another DPS patrol vessel. Now, this is the second boat of what will eventually be a total of six 34-foot shallow water interceptors to patrol the Rio Grande River. As the Texas Highway Patrol goes on a wild spending spree, these hot rod boats cost approximately $600,000 each. And yes, that's taxpayer money to fight Al-Qaeda and the small-time drug traffickers on the Texas rivers.
They're buying these giant $690-something thousand speedboats for lakes and rivers that have giant machine guns mounted all over them. And they didn't have the machine guns mounted 3 months ago when we first went out and talked to them at a lake. They didn't know who we were. We did a nice interview, put it on TV. I made my points about how we're going bankrupt, but they're constantly militarizing our police. Darren McBreen and John Bowne went out there politely. And they were bowing up. They were saying, we're not going to talk to you, even though it was a press event that they called. They had state police standing right up in their space. And when they left, they had state police follow them out of the parking lot over by the lake.
I mean, here's my deal, man. I mean, you guys misrepresented yourself. As with Kelby J. I called them, and they're like, no, they don't work for us.
It's not a misrepresentation. We're broadcast on KLBJ.
I mean, this is a public place. You're welcome to film.
But there's There's not a media representative that'll talk to us?
No.
It goes on to say, are John Bowne and Darren McBreen on your staff? The DPS contacted our DPS contact, and we're also affiliated with your show. Can you shed any light on this? I mean, it's just crazy. The state police are calling our local affiliate because, wait, the media is not supposed to ask us questions. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to discuss what's going on. You're supposed to take it. We give you a press release and you read it on air. That's how America works. We don't have a free press in America.
I mean, I have some talking points if you want to.
Yeah, some talking points. I think we got those pretty much last time. I mean,
they're pretty much the same.
I know the cost of the boats and all that. But we're just kind of wondering about joint military exercises, stuff like that, you know, if there's any...
I mean, you can ask it. Yeah, there's no joint military exercises planned that I'm aware of.
They're spending $600,000 on these...
$600,000 plus.
Yeah, for a total of six of them. And this is the unveiling of the second one.
With machine guns, militarizing, and they don't like it. It's wrong to sit there and try to violate press freedom in this country. Can you believe calling up our affiliate, trying to imply we're doing something wrong, playing weird legalese games?
And by them following us, it seemed like intimidation. You know, it was pure intimidation.
Well, I mean, he's calling.
I know they plan on buying a lot of these unmanned drones.
DPS is not that I'm aware of.
The state of Texas is not?
We're not.
Because there's like border patrol with the drones and all that.
Border patrol is federal.
Well, they're working with federal agencies. That's what I mean. So it'd be like Homeland Security, for example, is federal, yet they provided a lot of the funding for these boats that are here in the state.
That's
You know. So that's why I was wondering if there's any, you know, federal cooperation with these unmanned drones as well for border patrol and fighting this out of control drug war.
I don't know. We don't have drones.
Yeah.
Now, whose drones we have access to, I'm not even sure.
Rights activists or whatever are also concerned that maybe these boats would be used to, like, pull over somebody to, hey, do you have your fishing license? You know, and you got all these tactical guns on there, and do you have your fishing license? Is this boat registered? Is there any alcohol on board? You know, that sort of thing. So those were kind of the questions we're going to ask. So.
Yeah, these are going to be used in standard border operations in cooperation with you know, local, state, and of course, you know, Border Patrol.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
That's all they're there for.
We are right.
Well, yeah, you know, sometimes they do, you know, but like, you know, same with the Patriot Act. It was supposed to be just for terrorists, and then they end up, you know, going after more than just terrorists. And these are just questions, man. A lot of people get offended by these questions. Like this, you know, so there's checks and balances, you know.
Right, so you're not going to pull over anybody that's just out there fishing or skiing or whatever. You're not going to pull over civilians. These boats are just for terrorists, right? I get it. And there's no drones. There's no drones. Look, these new DPS vessels are a clear sign of the militarization of our police. And meanwhile, we are witnessing an alarming escalation of police brutality across the country. 2 decades ago, Rodney King became a household name and a verbal symbol of injustice at the hands of law enforcement. As the shocking video of police brutality made headlines across the country, because American cops engaging in such behavior was still relatively rare. Now, flash forward to modern day history where you could surf the internet and find similar examples of police brutality, harassment, and oppression almost on a daily basis. Images of police beating protesters and other innocent bystanders has become a normality in our culture as America sinks into the depths of a tyrannical police state.
10 cents for some lemonade, guys.
Two more?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your business.
Thank you.
Leave these people alone.
I am getting arrested for selling my. Do you guys have surfers?
Cute. I think it makes people smile.
My name is a mystery.
Oh?
No, I have nothing to hide.
If the bubble touches me, I'm going to be arrested for assault. Do you understand me?
Bubble.
Yes, that's right. It's a deliberate act on your behalf. I'm going to arrest you. Do you understand me?
I understand.
Right, you're going to be in handcuffs. All right? You either knock it off with the bubble, or you touch me with that bubble, you're going into custody. Right?
I'm putting it away.
Right, thank you.
But I would also like to know...
You want to be...
Get your ID handy? Do you have your ID? Because I'll explain something to you. In the state of Arkansas... Here, you make sure you get the name. The badge number. State of Arkansas...
Get out of my garage.
You're
not welcome on my property. You want to beat the police? So blow that on me or that other officer, and it gets in her eyes. It's a detergent. You'll be going into custody.
I understand.
Do we understand each other?
I do. I would
and put it away.
I am doing that.
Right.
Discussion's
over.
You need to get off my property.
I need to see your ID.
I'm standing in my garage.
Yes, sir, you are.
You are violating my Fourth Amendment. Show me a search warrant.
You're in my property. No.
You're not welcome here.
You.
You're not.
So I need your driver's license. I need some form of ID.
If you could treat me with a bit of respect.
I just did.
Okay.
I just did.
I.
You got what you deserved. You got my respect. Right?
I don't feel very respected. I'm just.
That's terrible.
Trying to
That's
keep
terrible.
You happy.
My heart bleeds.
Mine too.
Right?
Fair ample me.
For what? Am I under arrest? I'm under arrest.
They're rambling. I'm not going to take it.
Give me the board now. You've been warned. I want the board now.
I am a legal citizen of the United
Give me the board. Give me. You've been warned. Let go. Let go of the board.
You give it to me, I'll smack it
okay,
up.
Yeah, I don't have a
problem. Shut your mouth. I'm talking.
Barrett, shut up, dude.
You've been warned. I warned you last time.
Right,
did you skateboard down High Street?
High Street?
Yes. No, okay, fine.
Where are you from?
Sit down! I gave you a warning, yes or no? Did I not give you a warning?
You gave me a warning, but
okay.
I have a right in the United States. I know my rights.
I don't give it. Give a shit.
Dude, sit down, I'm not a dude!
I'm calling
you. You're damn right you're calling your mother.
Give me the board.
Give me the board. How do I get it back?
Have your parents come down and pick
it
up.
Does this cost money?
No, it doesn't.
You're going to take my skateboard. I didn't do anything,
dude. You see this?
Yes, you see this. You see I took this? The board. You have a problem
you
with it?
I have a problem.
Then bring your parents down. We'll discuss this.
All right.
Go for it. First of all, you better learn how to speak. I'm not man. I'm not dude. I am Officer Rivieri. Now, the sooner you learn that, the longer you're going to live in this world.
Oh, f- no. Are you serious? Are you serious?
Oh, shit. Oh, oh, get the fuck out, bitch.
Our cameras this evening, just about before 6 o'clock tonight, happened at MATA's main terminal at North Main and Danny Thomas.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
For more than 6 years, I've talked on the air about creating a social network. PlanetInfoWars.com is in its beta phase. We're just launching it. And I want to invite all of you out there to be in on the ground level. Planet InfoWars is about people coming together, forming activist organizations, getting involved politically, hunting and fishing, gardening, dating. This is a place for people who love freedom to meet and to talk and to write and to post information. And I give you this pledge. We are not going to spy on you and sell your data to the New World Order. PlanetInfoWars.com is free, so people who love freedom can get together, connect with people who are awake and know what we're facing. Be active, organize, take action, go viral, create, contribute, resist, because resistance is victory. You are victory. It's waiting for you to breathe power into it. PlanetInfoWars.com. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Back to the Bilderberg topic. Increasingly, all the things we see on the internet, the positive sides of the revolution, the attempts to crack down, all seem to be spiraling around the group of elites that meet each year in a new location under their secret names in fancy five-star hotels. And it's part of, we see more and more, a larger web of control through groups like Facebook and other big tech people. So many of them have started attending this conference. And kind of nexusing with that, we have the article today from our contributor A.M. Freyed, Liars or Genius? Gaga, Zuckerberg, and Obama groomed from childhood for their roles. And this is all on the heels of Facebook launching its IPO this week. They are estimating they're going to be valued at over $100 billion. Lady Gaga went to Geek Camp 2. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Google's Sergey Brin are all alumni of the Center for Talented Youth at Johns Hopkins University. Similar programs also take place, such as the Duke Talent Identification Program and others. It's kind of a mix of people with gifts for mathematical, musical, technical things, and people who just have important elite family members and how they prepare them for their role in the New World Order. In particular, this is interesting with Zuckerberg. A.M. Freyed writes, it's likely these are all lies of sorts. Zuckerberg is no genius mogul, and Facebook is more a U.S. intelligence asset than a functioning business. It's a simple formula. The power elite that wants to run the world has increasingly integrated a seamless network of testing throughout the web to help develop and identify top human youngsters, those who are symbolically facile, even verbally adept, without the additional burden of deep thinking. That's right. They want to control their little pet geniuses. It's a kind of organized crime approach to the cultivating of talent. After making their selections, elite handlers began to make the pitch. The quid pro quo is surely obvious, and monarch programs and other forms of mind control are not necessary. Most, like Zuckerberg, acquiesce willingly and do whatever is required. Of course, many of these young people mature late in mathematics capability is not the only kind of creativity they hold. This is not an issue of, to the top elites. They apparently wish to select for numerical facilities, music, language, math skills, because the owners of such talents are more likely to be linear in their thought rather than holistic thinkers. The idea is to present geniuses with outward dazzling skills, but little in the way of insight or determination to investigate the realities of the larger picture. And that larger picture is coming together when you begin to study who is it that attends the Bilderberg meeting. What is their agenda? What are their related agendas? What are their conflicts of interest? We're going to get into some of that today. And throughout it, they're going to be revealing just some of the technical people who've attended Bilderberg just over the past few years. Bill Gates, probably the most notable, the already most deeply steeped in evil. But others are being brought onto this platform. And what really is at Bilderberg, just the larger cartel, that's really what they are. There's the one company. They include the NSA. They include the CIA. They include all the political fronts. And they control a great deal of the industry, the technical stuff, and a whole lot more. Now, we've heard this week about how a judge refuses to reveal the ties between the NSA and Google. We're not supposed to know that they're spying on us or that they're working together or that Google was basically launched as a front for the NSA, CIA, and related interests. But that's all coming out. And you see Eric Schmidt attending annually at Bilderberg. He got confronted last year. And it's kind of funny, too. He thought that people wouldn't know how to speak English just because they're in Europe, but they did. He got shouted at. He didn't like it. They even had some of the videos pulled from YouTube of people confronting Eric Schmidt and the other Bilderberg attendees who got caught walking down the sidewalk. Very interesting. But back to Facebook. This week, they're in the news, of course, because the IPO is about to happen. They're about to be declared as a $100 billion company, really topping anything Bill Gates did or any of these other newfound billionaires, because it's part of that larger myth of wealth. Those who have the wealth are supposedly in control. Therefore, they associate with the elite. Therefore, they pull the strings. Therefore, it's not surprising to find them influencing this and that in social media and online and our new reality, what's considered the mainstream culture they're always trying to sell. And so you see Eduardo Saverin wanting to leave the country, wanting to renounce his citizenship, but of course cash in on that IPO. Now, this guy Eduardo Saverin was the initial funder for Facebook when it was only tens of thousands of dollars. He was at Harvard, ran with Zuckerberg and the other founders who were all roommates there, but they didn't really like his style and they tried to push him out of the company and snag some of his different holdings, but he got it back through a lawsuit and now he has the money. But there's an interesting clip I want to play here from the movie The Social Network that'll tie us to our main focus in this piece, which is Sean Parker, the first president of Facebook, also the first launcher of Napster, which disrupted the web, and someone who looks to be an overall agent of disruption. Let's roll that clip right now.
$1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool?
You?
$1 billion.
So $1 billion, that's what's cool. When Eduardo Saverin wanted to sell off the company for a little over $1 million, people like Sean Parker convinced them to keep going forward and try to make Facebook a truly huge company. Now, the real truth is these people are just fronts for larger entities. We've seen in the past how the Rockefeller Corporation and other big entities had to break up Standard Oil, had to break up AT&T, had to break up IBM, and other true monopolies of the early part of the 20th century. They spun them, sold them, put them in side companies, but it turned out that all along control was basically with the same important people. And you see at the same time how John D. Rockefeller was himself an icon for that robber baron wealth of the early part of the 20th century. In the 21st century, in the rise of technology and the takeover of operating systems, Bill Gates was a major icon for that. And you see how much he has pushed the New World Order agenda himself, meeting very often at Bilderberg meetings along with his father and his wife and other counterparts of Microsoft and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But now that too has to grow Companies like Facebook have to transplant the success of Microsoft. They have to top what's already been done. So now it has to be a $100 billion company. What does that money really mean? What's it based in? It doesn't matter, but they're going to be selling these new Silicon Valley figures as our saviors, as the rightful elites to control things. And that's why you see people like Sean Parker, the founders, including Zuckerberg of Facebook, being glorified, movies made about them. Again, you just saw the clip from The Social Network where he says a million isn't cool, a billion, that's what's cool. But actually, he said $1 billion isn't cool. Sean Parker, $1 billion isn't cool in the Huffington Post. One of the film's sequences involves the Parker character telling the young Facebook co-founders, $1 million isn't cool, you know it's cool, $1 billion. The real-life Parker has a different take on wealth. It's not cool, he said, of $1 billion. I think being a wealthy member of the establishment is the antithesis of cool. He added, saying being a counterculture revolutionary is cool. So the extent that you're made $1 billion, you probably become uncool. Well, Sean Parker, you become uncool. We have you on video attending Bilderberg in 2010, giving the victory sign, so cool, like $1 billion cool. Alex found out when I was telling him about some of the research that I do every year on Bilderberg, looking up members from the attendees list, finding out what they're up to lately, and he realized he met Sean Parker just a few months ago at a party during the South by Southwest meeting, and how crazy he was, how strange, and seemed hype up on something. We don't know what was going on. He was juggling apples and talking intently in people's faces and acting real weird, and a bunch of hangers-on were gloating about his billions and how he was about to cash in for even more when the IPO of Facebook went through. And it's just all very strange, the worship around this guy who didn't like his portrayal in The Social Network as a drug-induced playboy who's kind of wielding these new technologies. And yet, when Alex met him at the party, it really seemed like maybe he did fit this kind of super egotistical character, really reveling in his connections and wealth and total trendiness. He was there at South by Southwest appearing with Al Gore, talking about how SOPA is bad and how they have to hack democracy and use social media to take over voting. And they've got all these new companies. We're about to get to that. But this guy has really made himself involved, and particularly in the Bilderberg, through his connection with Peter Thiel, who's now on the Bilderberg Steering Committee and has invited so many of the founders of Facebook and other key technology companies to that elite summit. Let's roll some of those members right now. And you see just some of the invitees from the 2011 list there in detail, Craig J. Mundy, who's the chief research and strategy officer for Microsoft. But let's go back to the where they show their names and faces, and we can talk about the gathering they brought together to discuss things like the future of privacy on the internet, the future of cybersecurity. There's Peter Thiel. He runs Clarium Capital. He was also the first founder of PayPal and their CEO, and he was the first major funder of Facebook. He provided the first $500,000 that would eventually turn Facebook into a multi-billion dollar company. Next, we have Mark Zuckerberg. He and his sister were rumored to attend the Bilderberg meeting last year in St. Moritz. We can't confirm that directly, but the New American did write on the topic and said they had a meeting basically about how they learned to love the end of privacy, to accept all the NSA back doors to Facebook and the other super technology. And you remember, it was only in the past months where it turned out Zuckerberg had referred to the early Facebook members as dumb effers for giving all their data away. And of course, he was going to use that data. You saw people like Eric Schmidt laughing about how you shouldn't do anything on the internet you don't want to do in public, and on and on. And his sister has also made a lot of outspoken comments about what a joke privacy was. And apparently they had a big confab at Bilderberg last year over the Facebook issue in particular and the future of online privacy. And it makes a lot of sense because they had at least four or five funders or key members or founders of Facebook there. We don't know if the Zuckerberg family themselves showed up, but it would certainly fit with the other information. But we know other people showed up and were on their official list. Of course, each year there are many people not on the official list. This is Chris Hughes, a co-founder of Facebook, and he was also credited as being the kid who made Obama president. How? Through social media. And we're about to get even more into that, but he helped get the list together in a 21st century high-tech way to really connect with people who might vote for the president, who might raise money for him, or who might just spread the trendy word about him. You also saw Jeff Bezos. He's the CEO of Amazon. He was at Bilderberg last year. He's running, of course, with the Peter Thiel crowd because Peter Thiel runs Clarium Capital. He runs Sequoia Capital. They run the Founders Fund. All these are important hedge fund and other funding mechanisms that decide which projects live and which projects die, which projects are going to become a multi-billion dollar company and which projects are just going to be prototypes for someone else to take over. You really see that going on Silicon Valley now, and they make up basically about 20% of the NASDAQ index, and that means a lot of our GDP, but it's more than just dollars. It's the what is going to be the reach of social media? How impactful will they be on socially engineering society, something the elites have been working on for over 100 years. Let's go back to that list and finish off the attendees. You also saw the CEO of LinkedIn, who is also one of the Facebook founders. His name is Reid Hoffman. And then after that, you have, I think there's one other guy in there. But the point is, all these tech geeks came together at Bilderberg. The question is why. And, of course, Sean Parker of Napster, the first president of Facebook, he wasn't there last year, but the past year. The point is they're there every year. Again, Peter Thiel is on the steering committee of Bilderberg and runs a lot of the finance operations of Silicon Valley. Such an important connection there. But it gets even more interesting because Sean Parker calls himself a disruptor. Forbes has the headline, Sean Parker, Agent of Disruption. Who is he? He is basically an early teen genius who learned to hack when he was just 14, 15, some odd years old, started his own companies while he was still in high school, got around some of the high school requirements so he could start doing some of his online money making. And then in Virginia, where he went to high school at none other than Chantilly High School, right over there where the Bilderberg meeting's about to be, he won the state computer science fair for developing a web crawler and was recruited by the CIA at age 16. Sean Parker, CIA, Agent of Disruption. And so as all this stuff with privacy shapes, you've got also attendees at the Bilderberg meeting, including Christine Varney, the former Obama U.S. Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust Division, now working for the tech companies to guard privacy. You've got Google in an antitrust probe, and all this stuff is building through a crescendo while Sean Parker says it's time to disrupt the elections. He says defeating SOPA was the nerd spring, the thing him and Al Gore called for at South by Southwest and in the months previous leading up to it, using the name playing off of the Arab Spring. You've got headlines here like Votison, social voting ready to disrupt the 2012 presidential election. You've got headlines like Sean Parker, this election, social media will determine the outcome. And it all adds together. You've got Sean Parker in this article, five interesting things Sean Parker said yesterday. He says, politics, for me, is the most obvious area to be disrupted by the web. Campaigns themselves and all forms of special interest groups and PACs are driven by huge amounts of cash. If you're a PAC, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to mobilize single-issue voters. Taking money out of politics with campaigns is possible through social media. Like with all the other groups, they're spending a fortune basically for maintaining a mailing list, and that can be done basically for free using online tools. There's huge potential for disruption. So there he is using the term disruption in the context of steering the elections, of hacking the elections through social media. And they're all meeting at Bilderberg, especially last year, but in the years to come. We'll see how many of them show up this year. Now, this entity right here, Votison, it's one of their little side projects. It connects back to Peter Thiel. It connects back to Sean Parker. It connects back to Chris Hughes and, of course, other allies and, of course, many celebrities. They're all funded by the same basic groups, Clarium Capital, Sequoia, and especially the Founders Fund, which Sean Parker now heads. Chris Hughes, who's one of the key Facebook co-founders, was credited in 2008 with helping to get President Obama elected. Here's the headline right here, how Chris Hughes helped launch Facebook and the Barack Obama campaign. And it goes on about what a great supporter Obama was, but especially how he used social media, and in particular the site mybarackobama.com, to connect supporters and spread support and basically get the community organizing going on. But Peter Thiel, as you know, has been reported as a major libertarian thinker and a supporter of Ron Paul. Why would someone like Peter Thiel, who goes to the Bilderberg meeting every year, back someone like Ron Paul, who wants to break down the system? Well, look at the fact that Ron Paul has the only true viral internet campaign. That's the only candidate. You don't see a viral campaign for Newt Gingrich. You don't see it for Romney. You see it to a certain extent for Obama, but a lot of that is AstroTurf. Ron Paul has the true body of supporters, and what do they want? They want that data. They want to back people like Ron Paul so they can steer the social media data. They want to run it through all their sites from LinkedIn to Facebook and on, and they want to steer it, study it, and learn how they can use it in the future to truly hack elections. We're not talking about voting machine fraud, although that's still on the table. We're talking about steering the supporters to vote for who the system wants you to vote for. Ron Paul's an experiment. They're not concerned about the candidates in this cycle in particular. They're concerned about latching on to the proper trends for the real future. And so after he did Napster, but before he got to the Facebook and cybersecurity elements, he also had the company Plaxo, which was basically a viral online address book that worked alongside of and companionship with Microsoft's Outlook. And according to what I read about it, it basically would download onto users' computers, steal their contacts, and contact all those people to try to get them to join the network. Now, this tech company didn't really take off, and Sean Parker got kicked out of it, but they used the basis for the technology in the future successful companies, and that's just what they do. They seed all these companies, they see what grows, and they use the lessons they learn to build the projects that actually take off. And again, they're all front men for the larger cartel system that includes the NSA mechanisms and all the rest of it. They're running things, and they're using these tech geeks as the new heroes of wealth and power for this new age, and we must refuse them. You saw how cool Sean Parker thinks he is, not only with his billions, but waving to people from the Bilderberg car, really thinks he's made it. He's just another tool of the system. You don't have that coolness once you sell out to the cartel, Sean Parker. We'll be back after this with Yuri Masson and more on the World Bank's disgusting population control coercive methods after this.
Up next, we're going to do a brief history lesson. We're going to take you into the mind of the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays. Now, Edward Bernays, as you know, was the...
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. The message you are hearing is part of a nationwide live code test of emergency alert system capabilities. This test message has been initiated by National Alert and Warning Authorities in coordination with emergency alert system participants, including broadcast, cable, satellite, and wireline participants. The emergency, the emergency signal you just heard would have been followed by emergency information, news, or instructions. This is only a test. We now return you to regular programming.
Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
The Flintstones has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment? See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good-tasting a cigarette can be.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Once upon
a time, there were two little girls.
Mr. Green, our feature presentation.
Every day, our senses are being constantly bombarded by subliminal messages that are found in TV, movies, and advertisements. The subliminal messages we are subjected to are unrecognizable by the conscious mind and only recognizable in our subconscious mind. The messages and imagery are passively absorbed and then stored in our subconscious, where propagandists deliberately implant artificial thoughts, which in turn can affect our actions and attitudes later in life. Experiments have shown that less than 1 minute after the viewer begins to watch television, the brain switches from beta-level consciousness, associated with active and logical thought, to alpha-level, which is associated with passive acceptance and suggestibility. This is why advertisers spend billions of dollars a year on commercials, as well as product placement within TV shows. Political messages are implanted in fictional TV programs as the relaxed meditative state of the viewer is receptive to the programming. One example is AMC's Breaking Bad television series, as it depicts a meth villain as a Ron Paul supporter.
I looked him up. It was one of these physicists, one of Hitler's guys, a physicist named Werner Heisenberg. Real cute, huh?
In a basic college-level marketing class, in your first year of radio, television, and film, at least for me, and then I've seen some other textbooks and curriculum and found it's also in those, but most RTF schooling teaches you that they have had subliminals for at least 70 years in the United States and Europe. And so, yes, there is subliminal messaging everywhere. It is all over the place. It's an absolute fact that they flicker it at a rate and that they have the televisions designed for that rate to bring you into a dreamlike state. I mean, it is a fact that within minutes, you go into a dream brainwave when watching television. Go read a book by the father of modern advertising, Edward Bernays, where he calls you a dumb slave and admits they run your whole life. I've read both his major books. One of them is called Propaganda. Edward Bernays.
The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed. Our minds are molded. Our tastes are formed. Our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized.
To better understand the current state of modern-day media manipulation, we must first look at the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays. His influence on the 20th century rivaled that of his uncle's, Sigmund Freud, as Bernays pioneered the idea of crowd psychology with Freud's psychoanalytical ideas in what would become a new political ideal on how to control the masses. In his 1928 book, Propaganda, Bernays wrote, "If we understand the mechanisms and motives of the group mind, it is now possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without them knowing it." He called it the engineering of consent and proposed that those who manipulate
this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country.
It was Bernays who introduced the corporate giants to crowd psychology methods and polished techniques to manipulate society. He convinced the population to buy on impulse things they didn't even need by linking mass-produced goods to their own unconscious desires. The tobacco industry hired Bernays to persuade women to take up smoking, and the Alcoa Aluminum Company asked him to drive the campaign for the national fluoridation of our water supply. A consumerist culture was born, and the U.S. government took notice. In addition to famous corporate giants, Bernays also began working for the federal government. They adopted his technique of manufacturing ever-present dangers and then maintaining a constant state of fear to give those in power greater control of what Bernays called the mass mind.
Edward Bernays, who's the father of modern advertising and propaganda, he literally wrote the book Propaganda. Joseph Goebbels, on record, the Nazi propaganda minister, used a lot of his information and twisted it to his own designs. Bernays was the chief psychological warfare expert for more than 20 years, advising the Department of War. He advised them to call it defense. Don't be honest anymore. Call it the Department of Defense because you're actually going to run giant imperial slaughter operations.
Well, that just about wraps up tonight's show. I hope you had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget, tomorrow begins our exclusive coverage from the Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly, Virginia. You don't want to miss out on this, folks. Trust me. Until then, may God bless you all. And don't forget, the answer to 1984 is 1776. Good night. See you tomorrow.